Thank you, guys. Thank you, Coach Daniel and the worship team. I'm excited for this new season that we're in here at Maywood. And that little tagline we have, Becoming the Fullness of Jesus Together, we're going to be focusing in on that together part these next few months. And that's really where the rubber hits the road for Christians. Like, we can talk a good game, but until we can all get actually together with all of our warts and wrinkles and do things for Jesus and become more like Jesus together and actually love each other when we're not perfect to each other, like, until we can work on that together, like, we're not really getting transformed into who Jesus wants us to be. Like, his whole plan is to bring a bunch of broken people together and work on them together. Some of us would like to, you just work on my problems over there, and I don't want to deal with those people, right? So we're going to dive into it, and I'm going to give you what has been a life-changing tool in my life. And so we're going to be talking about these next few months. And we're going to take it slow, because I feel like this is worth doing together. Not just talk about it once, right? So that's all coming in today's service, right? It's like this big tool, this big strategy. I want to talk at first, though, about a struggle that we have that maybe we didn't expect. And to get there, I want to show you a picture of what we normally think of with childhood, right? When we talk about, like, oh, I wish I was a kid again, we have, like, these sorts of images, right? Like, super carefree, joyful, like, no worries, fully in the moment, sprinklers, you know, don't remind you about, like, how much you need to do to your yard. They just are like, that looks like fun, right? Like, that sort of attitude is what nostalgia, like, we look back on childhood and we just think, like, oh, yeah, to be a kid again. But if you really try to remember what it was like to be a kid, there were certainly moments like this. There's also moments like this next picture, right, where you're just like, I'm sick of everybody telling me no and everybody telling me where I have to be and not being able to choose anything for myself, and I have to even wear this, like, collar thing when I don't, or, like, whatever the thing is for you. Like, I got to stay inside on the rainy day. It might have, people go through real trauma in their childhood, and that's not exactly what I'm talking about this moment. I'm talking about just to not have very much say over your life and for your day to not be going the way you want it to go and to not have the power to do the solutions that seem so easy. A lot of times a kid thinks, like, if we could just go get that cotton candy, like, all my problems would be over, right? But then they get told, no, you can't, and you have to walk right by the solution, right? As you scream, right? Like, as adults, like, it might not be like, oh, that puff of sugar is what I need. But a lot of times as an adult, like, we get stuck in this really low, sad spot, and we feel powerless to get to the solution. Seems like other people got the solution, right? But we feel like we can't get there. And this isn't just for people that are outside, you know, stumbling on 24 highway right now or something, right? People inside of Jesus' household, it's not a church building, but people who know Jesus, they can still be in this spot where, like, I expected a lot more. Like, I expected things to be going, for there to be more power, more connection with God, more change inside of me, right? But I don't know how to get there. And it feels like it's forever away, right? When you're a kid, it feels like getting to these adult privileges or whatever feels like an eternity away. And some of us have just resigned ourselves to, like, well, it'll all be okay in heaven. Like, Jesus came to change us so we could be perfect and have a perfect relationship with him. And I want you to hear that, because I hear something that's not true over and over and over and over at Maywood and from Christians outside of Maywood too. There's a piece of truth to it. People will talk about, like, well, we're all sinners, nobody's perfect. Like, those things are true. Like, Jesus is the only one to do it right from birth to death right here on earth. Jesus is the only one to be sinless, right? But in Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus talks about his plan for us, and that Jesus came to be a person, and Jesus is the one who makes other people holy, but Jesus' plan is to be in a family relationship with us. Jesus' plan is to make you holy, like set apart without any blemishes, totally connected to God the Father. Where Jesus could stand shoulder to shoulder with you, not out of pity, but with like a, we're brothers. Or that's my sister. And Hebrews 2 says he wants to do it without any shame, right? And when you look at my whole life, and even just this last week, there's things that like don't stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, right? Like I'm not saying like, oh, Jake's sinless, let's all follow Jake. But I also want to clear away this lie that it's okay to just be struggling forever with sin. Like Jesus's ultimate goal for each one of us is for us to leave sin behind. Okay, so if you run into somebody and they say like, I'm perfect and you should be perfect too, like, yeah, you should be careful around that person. Like they're probably wrong, right? But don't let the lie live in your heart that everybody messes up and go easy on yourself. Jesus will give you mercy every step of the way as long as you stick with him, but Jesus is gonna push you until you're perfect. And a lot of us have given up on perfect, right? We don't even have that as a hope or a dream. Jesus is pushing us to become the type of person where we can have an eternity of goodness, right? We don't want to be perfect so we can prove, you know, somebody in our family wrong or something like, right? Like we want to get rid of all the sin so that we can have a perfect relationship with God, right? We want love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and forgiveness to be in there so much in our heart that there's no room for ambition. There's no room for pushing other people down, right? There's no room for bitterness. We want that connection. Father better on having Jesus' love and courage in me more. In fact, if you're paying attention, maybe you've noticed, like, I feel like I'm getting more bitter, or I feel like I'm struggling more with doubt, or I feel like I'm wanting money more than I ever did before. Whatever it is, it's starting to tempt you. So I want to talk to us today about a solution that when you hear it, you're going to be like, wow. You've been in church 3 times, you've already heard the solution, right? And you're gonna real quickly be like, whatever. Don't do that. Stick with me on it, because I think if you actually work it, it'll work for you, right? If we use a little AA phrasing, right? If you actually do the stuff, it'll actually help you, right? So here's the idea, is if you go to church very much, you hear people tell you, like, you should read your Bible and you should talk to God or pray, right? Not new. Jake certainly didn't come up with it. It's really easy stuff. Most people come to church quite a bit, they hear that quite a bit, and they don't walk away with the relationship with God that they want. They don't walk away the man or woman of courage and love that they want to be. So how do we actually have a relationship with God that has the power and the transformation that we want to have? I think we got to have some humility. Like kids have. Kids naturally have humility. If you came in with a kid that's super bored and sad and said, like, I can show you a way to be better, like most kids would be like, okay, show me. Like, I'll try it, right? If we can put that childlike heart on and say, I'll try something, okay? So here's the idea we're going to be talking about. It's October now. We're going to be talking about it until we get into our Christmas series, right? That hopefully feels like a long ways away off. It's not too far, actually. If you're a parent, you're like, oh, man. But we're going to be talking about the Psalms and praying the Psalms together. And the Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. It's huge. It's 150 chapters. And there's a lot of stuff going on in there. And for some people, they're like, oh, I'll pull some snapshots out of there occasionally. But for some people, they just kind of like skip over it. Or like, what's the point of that? Or like, maybe you've tried to read it and you got kind of lost. I'm like, this is blurry. Like, what's going on? Or maybe you read it and you're like, I can't believe that's in the Bible. And you got confused by it. Because here's what the Psalms do. The Psalms are people pouring out their heart to God. And a lot of these things are worship songs even today, and even when they were first written, they were used in worship. I would say they're all communication with God. Like they're all prayers where someone's bringing their heart to God and saying, let's talk about this. And it's not a one-way talk. It's like, here's everything I think. I'm expecting a response from God, right? Some of us, when we go to God and we pray, our prayer is like a grocery list, right? It's like a help with this. And then we forget about it. And then the next day we have a new grocery list, right? I don't know. I don't really like doing the whole like show up to Hy-Vee and have them like put the groceries in the car for you or whatever. Because they'll get you like super bruised bananas or all that craziness, right? You'll get like spinach that's moldy or whatever. Or like when Aldi pulls it out and they put it in the back of your trunk. Some of us are like people that like order it on the grocery store, let Aldi put it in our trunk, and then we like never even open up the bags to see what's in there, right? Like some of us throw out prayers to God every day, and then we don't ever check back with like, oh, how did that work out? What was I given by God? We just keep praying laundry lists over and over and over. There's not much of a relationship there. Imagine if Rick and I, like the only time we talked was to say like, Rick, can you do these 7 things for me? And then I turned my back and walked away. Never checked whether he did them, and never said, like, how's your day going, right? Like, not a good relationship, right? Not even a good way to be, even if you're a bad boss. Like, it's still even a bad way to run your company, even if you're a jerk, right? Like, you're not even checking on stuff, right? So the Psalms are not like that at all. The Psalm, I mean, we'll get into it. One of the Psalms is, like, talking about murdering babies, and it's, like, gets all super aggressive and bitter and terrible. It's, like, right there in the Bible. There's a bunch of psalms about, like, hurt the people that have hurt me and hurt their kids, too, while you're at it. I mean, like, there's a bunch of, like, really hateful, negative stuff. There's a psalm that ends with the phrase, darkness is my only friend. It's just, like, all despair, all bad. And then there's a bunch of psalms that are, like, giddy about, like, creation and how faithful God is and all this big stuff that God's done. There's, like, the full gamut of the human experience, right? Like all the different emotions that we would feel. So what are you supposed to do with that? Well, Bonhoeffer, when he's talking about the Psalms, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who like tried to assassinate Hitler, got killed. He's a like superstar Christian guy. Like he talked about like, well, we need the Psalms because we needed something that goes beyond us, right? Beyond our understanding, beyond our feelings, beyond our thinking even, right? If you're going to try to follow Jesus and you're only going to do the stuff with Jesus that you understand, that you feel like doing today, like you're not going to get all you need to get to, right? Like you need something outside that's better than you that can lead you to stuff you don't understand, right? So when you feel some sort of crazy emotion inside of you, you need somebody to show you what to do with crazy emotions, right? When you're trying to get over a sin and you just can't figure out how to get over it, and then you come into Psalm 25 and it talks about like God shows sinners his ways, like he shows the humble what to do. And then there's this awesome little like picture in Psalm 25 of an animal being stuck in a snare, and it says like my eyes are on you because only you'll release my feet from the snare. This idea of like I can't get out of this sin, but the way out is to keep my eyes on Jesus. It's not just to get like a better plan, right? There's all this stuff in the Psalms that as you're praying it, it's going to take you to solutions you wouldn't have come up with on your own. It's going to get you praying in ways that you've never prayed before. And when you start trying a bunch of stuff you've never tried before, sometimes that can be really dangerous, right? But here's the thing about prayer. It's like, I don't know if you ever took a woodshop class or like a table saw where like you and the other like 14-year-olds could like cut your arms off if you like, you know. But in woodshop, like, they don't let you use the table saw unless, like, the guy who's running the class is right there with you, right? C.S. Lewis talks about this analogy that, like, prayer is so powerful, like, God won't give us that power unless he's right there next to us. You know, like, God gave me arms, God gave me feet, and he's like, I'm going to trust you with these, Jake. Like, try not to make too big of a mess. But when it comes to, like, praying for, like, changing the weather, or changing somebody else's attitude, or all this other stuff that I pray about, God's like, well, we better do that one together, right? It's a little bit like the table saw. Like, he didn't give me power over the weather or power over all sorts of other stuff. It's like, you come to me and talk to me if you want to change that stuff. If you want to get involved in somebody else's life at that level, or if you want to fix this other giant problem, like, why don't we run that saw together? Like, why don't we have a conversation about this sort of thing, right? So here's what we're going to do with Psalms these next few months, is we're going to take Psalms and we're going to go through them as if they're kind of our big brother on how to pray. But I think back to when I was a kid and I looked just like this, like sad and like bored. When I was almost 11 years old, my older brother turned 16. And a lot of you probably have terrible siblings or siblings that were jerks or whatever. I had like a super good older brother, like classic great older brother. So when he turned 16, I mean, he didn't just drive me around. He did a bunch of stuff on his own, right? But I went from just having my parents drive me around to then my brother driving me a bunch of places. And it opened up a whole bunch of adventures, a bunch of music I'd never listened to, a bunch of all sorts of stuff, right? And when Sean, my brother, like would come home and say, like, hey, do you want to go? It really didn't matter what the next statement was. It was like, yes, I want to go wherever my 16-year-old brother is in the car, right? Like just that we're going in the car without my parents around, like just seemed like an adventure instantly. I want you to approach the Psalms that same way. They're like on your own in prayer. It's kind of like 11-year-old Jake sitting around the house. Like I've been here a long time. I've tried a lot of stuff here. It's not that there's nothing good here, but like I could use something different. Let the Psalms show you like the next different thing. Like let them be your big brother and say like, how about you pray this way? And take it as an adventure with somebody that you can trust. Like, I trusted my brother. And, like, God gave us, you know, in Timothy, it talks about all scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the person of God, the man of God, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Like, Psalms are there to help us be able to do the next right thing. They're given to us, right? So I'm going to teach you guys right now in this moment, we're going to do it with Psalms 1. So if you got a Bible, turn to Psalms 1. I'll have it on the screen. But we're going to do a little activity. We only got 10 minutes, but in this 10 minutes, we're going to do a little activity, so it'll be easier if it's right in front of you, okay? So Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read this psalm in such a way that it's going to show us a way to pray. So if you're doing this on your own this week, you're going to open up the Psalms. Like tomorrow, you could open up to Psalm 2. You're going to say a prayer, because before we meditate or try to like focus ourselves on Jesus and listen to him, we want to actually invite him in, right? We want to say, like, Jesus, please teach me. So before you even read the Bible, you're going to say, Jesus, please teach me. Can everybody say that? Jesus, please teach me. Okay, and if instead of teach, if you want to say guide or shepherd, but just something simple, like, Jesus, please be here with me on it, right? Then as you're reading the psalm, some of these psalms are going to have some crazy emotions, some crazy stuff, but as you're reading it, I want you just do your best to pay attention to, like, Jesus, what verse do you want me to focus on? And you're going to take a guess. This is a real, like, just like a test when you're in high school and you don't know the answer, like, you're better off guessing than just leaving it blank, right? You're going to take a guess at, like, Jesus, what do you want me to focus on? What's the one verse? Okay? And why do we take a guess instead of just closing the Bible and walking away? Is that if every day you show up and try to listen to Jesus and you take a guess at what he's saying, over time, you're going to start to learn what his voice sounds like. And you're applying scripture, right? So this is a safer place to be guessing, right? But you're going to have a conversation with Jesus about it, about like, Jesus, show me a verse to focus on, right? So I'm going to read you this. As I read it, I'm going to take us through, like, you could kind of do this on your own, a little meditation, like I'm going to stop and focus on it, right? So Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, when you read that, you might be like, oh, I don't know what that means. But blessing means like good things to you, like joy, happiness, the good life, right? And here it says, here's some stuff that people that are blessed don't do. And you could dig in real deep on this, but the basic idea is if you're walking around, hanging out with, doing the same stuff as wicked people are doing, you might not have classified yourself that way yet, but that's probably not a path to blessing, right? If you're doing all the same things that everybody else in the union with you is doing, like you might not be headed the same right path, right? If you're laughing at the same stuff, if you're staring at the same stuff, right? If you're doing the same things with your extra money, like might not be a road to blessing. But walking in some way is different than standing, right? It's different than just like, I'm going to hang out here for a little bit. And then the progression goes to sitting, right? Which when we sit, like, then we're going to stay here for a little bit, right? And the older you get, the slower you are to stand up, right? Like once you sat somewhere, right? There'll be come a day, hopefully at Maywood, where I won't be sitting on the stage anymore, right? I'll be like, yeah, I'm done bending my knees, right? So what's the bottom of this verse? It's when you become the type of person that just mocks stuff. You don't build up good stuff, you just tear stuff down. And we've been around people like that. And if you start getting real just like relaxed in the company of just people that just tear stuff down, like it's not the best path, right? So if that verse is the one that sticks out to you, you write it down. You take out a little sheet of paper, there's paper in front of you, you write that verse down for our next part of this activity, right? So then we're going on verse 2. You're looking for a verse, remember, right now. We're doing it right now. So write one of these verses down. It says, here's the blessed life, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on God's law day and night. The law is normally referring to like the Torah, like the first five books of the Old Testament. I don't think it's too much of a stretch though to say like, let's apply this to the Bible as a whole, right? I think we're in the same zone, okay? And this idea that a blessed person delights in the Bible. And meditation here, it doesn't mean like going like hum with like your legs crisscrossed or whatever, right? Some people use the word meditation and what they mean is like to detach from themselves or to get like totally zoned out and not feel any emotion. That's not what the Bible's talking about. When God the Father shows up on a mountain with Jesus glorified and there's three disciples there, God says, this is my son whom I love, listen to him. When Jesus is making the good confession in front of Pilate in John 18, Jesus says, he's talking about being a king, but he says, everybody who's on the side of truth, they listen to me. Like over and over quite a bit throughout the New Testament, we got this idea of listening to Jesus. And so this idea of meditating on the Bible, like what you're saying is I'm trying to fill up on God's goodness, right? Like God's spoken to people that have written this stuff down. I want to listen to that. I want to fill up with the Bible. Because the more full you are of the Bible, the easier time you're going to have listening to Jesus throughout the rest of your day, right? Like Jesus is going to speak to you today through the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be out of tune with the Bible. It's going to fit with it, right? So here he's saying like we should delight in the Bible. And if you're seeing this, and this is the verse that steps out to you, maybe the thing you're going to pray is, Jesus, I don't really, if I'm being honest, Jesus, like I don't really love reading the Bible. If you want to say that to Jesus, you can say it. That's what you feel, right? Please help me to desire it, right? Please help me to delight in it. I can remember times in my life where I like ravenously like love reading the Bible. And I can tell you like that's a blessed spot to be at. Your whole life starts to go different when you're like absorbing a lot of the Bible, right? Okay, verse 3. We're gonna go through these next ones a little faster. Keep looking for that verse though. This is the blessed person. It's like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Like more than listening to self-help stuff or that guy at work that seems like he has what you want next, right? What if you just took like these verses as true? You're like, huh, if I want to prosper, I better do what these three verses have said. And then your prayer could simply be like, Jesus, help me prosper your way. Help me to stay close to your word. Help me to be like a tree planted, right? You could just start praying that stuff. Like use the same images, right? Verse 4, not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. That's when old-time farmers would knock up a bunch of seed into the air off of a sheet, and the worthless parts would just float away. And here the description is like people that do wrong stuff, they might feel cool. It might be hard to tell who's right and who's wrong. But God knows like there's a lot of stuff that wicked people do that's not going to last. That's going to have no value when it comes time to really figure stuff out. And you probably can look back at your past at a time when you were being selfish or when you were being scared, and you're like, everything I did in that season was worthless. That's what this verse is talking about. So when you see that, you might be praying like, Jesus, help me not to do worthless things today that'll just blow away, right? I mean, it's a simple prayer, but that's not a bad prayer. And already, when you came in here today, I don't think any of you were thinking about chaff, right? You also probably weren't thinking about your life and making the next wrong choice as chaff, right? Like when you get tempted, today you're watching a commercial or something and it tempts you with this lie that if you had more stuff, you'd be happy. I mean, that goes directly against what Jesus says in Luke 12, where like a person's life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. When you see that lie, if you've been praying, like, Jesus, help me not to have worthless outcomes in my life, you might see like that thing that's $29.95 is just chaff, right? Like, praying this way starts to lead you to places you weren't before, right? Gives you peace in ways that it wasn't before, right? Because you're inviting Jesus in. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This makes me think back to Hebrews 2. And the more you read the Bible, the more the Psalms will call back other parts of Scripture, right? But I was telling you about Hebrews 2 earlier, where Jesus says, like, I'm not ashamed to call you brothers. Like, I want to make you holy. And here, there's this idea that we want to be a person that can stand up with other righteous people, right? That doesn't have to be hiding or ashamed. But maybe when you read that, you're like, I can't get there on my own. I can't even get through the next 12 hours with clean thoughts and clean words, right? And so maybe this just leads you into praying, like, Jesus, please make me into a righteous man. Verse 6 is our last verse of Psalms 1. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. There's two paths, right? Anley Stanley has this book called The Principles of the Path. If you don't want to read the whole book, the idea is if you get on a road, that road's going to take you somewhere. It doesn't matter what your intentions are, right? If you get on I-70, you're going to head east or west. It doesn't matter if you really, really love Minnesota, you're never going to get to Minnesota on I-70, right? Like, it just won't happen. And that's the whole book, right? So you don't have to read that, right? Becca, I think, has read it. So you could talk to Becca before about it. But like, this is talking about, like, there's a path where God himself will take care of you. And then there's a path that leads to everything blowing up. It's pretty simple, right? But then you could say, like, Jesus, help me to see it that simple today. Because I-70 has road signs, right? But sometimes our life doesn't have these big green light up signs, right? But you could say, like, Jesus, make my life like I-70, right? Just have road signs today. That's wicked. That's going to go bad. That's good. I'll take care of you if you do that. Like, you could pray that prayer, right? So hopefully you already picked a verse. Hopefully you wrote it down. There's little notepads and stuff. This is something, like, I've gotten into doing, right? Like, my psalm today was Psalms 144. It says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So throughout the day, when I'm stressed or when I'm stuck at Walmart, there's a huge line at neighborhood market, you can pull this out. And it brings you back to that moment you had in the morning where you were listening. It brings you back to what you were praying about, right? So here's what I want to challenge us to do, right? Is, how much time we got? We got news. So we're going to jump past the picture of the stream and the tree. You guys can think about verse 3 more on your own if you want. Yeah, but go down to that very last picture. So here's what I want to challenge us to do as a church. You can take it or leave it, okay? But I'm going to restart Psalms. We just read Psalms 1 together today. Tomorrow, I'm going to read Psalm 2. I'm going to take a little note card or scrap piece of paper. I'm going to write out the verse that jumps out to me. And then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start my prayer with that verse. And then my prayer will go wherever my prayer goes, right? But at least my very first step will be a step of Scripture. And then I'll start praying more, okay? So this is showing me how to pray, right? I don't know, I'm a terrible dancer, but when I lived in Mexico, I took a salsa dancing class for a little while. And if the salsa dancing instructor is dancing with me, like, it's not terrible, right? This is kind of like that. You're letting the Psalms be your prayer teacher. Like, let's get the rhythm down right, and then you can be on your own. Like, let's take the first step together, and then you can take, and then you try your best. And what's going to happen is if you do it for 150 days, I think you're going to have a different relationship with Jesus. Like, I've done this, and it's changed me, right? And you came in today, and you're like, Jake, I was hoping for some more fire, some more motivation. I kind of gave you stuff that you already knew about, right? But when I was 11 and my 16-year-old brother came home, like, I'd already ridden in cars a lot, but it was different when my brother offered me a ride, right? And you've already had a chance with the Bible before, probably, right? But what I'm hoping is that you hear this. Like, Jesus wants a relationship with you, and he's given you the Psalms to, like, help you take the first step, okay? And we're going to keep digging into Psalms. We'll get into some crazy ones, right? These next few months. But you have to want the relationship. And the relationship is founded on prayer. It's founded on talking and listening. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys, okay, if you bow your heads. Jesus, I was reading George MacDonald this week talking about prayer, and he said, a child will go home because he's hungry for dinner, but what he really needs is his mom. And the hunger drives him to have what he really needs relationally. Jesus, I want to pray over each person in this room. I pray each of us would have a need this week that drives us to pray, some sort of hunger, some sort of just regular everyday thing that we need help on. But Jesus, I pray when we reach out to you for help, that you not only would meet our need, I pray for every person in this room and everybody watching online, I pray that you would meet with us, build a relationship with us, help us to trust you, that you love us and you provide for us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.